Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And we're going to get right into this because we have a rare opportunity, maybe medium rare it should be. But on the grilling line right now, we have the one, the only Ted Nugent. Welcome to the Grilling Guys.
I feel welcome, guys. Happy hunting season 2016. Dinner on the hoof is our life.
Oh, man, I tell you.
That's right. Thanks for coming back, Ted. It's been 5 years since you've been on the show. And
come on, you guys, you missed me, didn't
we've
you?
We've been waiting. Yeah, that's
is
right.
Is grilling just not as good without Uncle Ted? Come on, admit it.
You know, we certainly enjoy having you on, and it's my fault for not inviting you back. It just escapes me. And every time I try and get you on, it's like too thick into the season, and you're running around with Kid Rock or somebody beating up on the wildlife of Michigan. So I decided to get you.
Grill them till you kill them. Well, I appreciate what you guys do because that's the Nugent family mantra. We celebrate the sacred gift of sacred flesh, and we know that the most wonderful, most delicious, nutritious, and the healthiest diet in the world is wild game on the grill. We've been doing it all our lives, and we're not alone, guys. What you guys represent on the Grilling Guys radio show is alive and well all across this country. I just wrapped up my 6,578th concert on September 3rd in Muskogee, Oklahoma, on my Sonic Baptism Tour, the greatest tour of my life, and I hang out with working hard, playing hard Americans every night, and everybody just celebrates and cherishes and believes in and fights for our God-given right to hunt, fish, and trap in the great outdoors lifestyle, so the grilling celebration goes on all across this country, believe me.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And one thing we wanted to know is if you had, like, a favorite whitetail story from Michigan.
You know, I was just doing a radio show out in San Diego, and they asked me what my best concert was. And I responded, 100% honesty, every one of my concerts is a monster. I mean, the band is so tight. The audiences are so energized. The guitar sounds so damn good. Every concert is amazing, and I could go right back to November 15th, 1969, when I got my first Michigan button buck. It was opening day up there in Manistee National Forest with my dad's pre-64 Model 70 Winchester bolt action 308 open sights, and I shot a beautiful big button buck. That was the first whitetail I ever killed, even though I'd been hunting all my life. I just hadn't figured it out yet. Somebody mentioned one time I'm a little too uppity to get close to deer, and they were right until that November 15th morning. But that button buck is mounted on my cabin wall, and when I brought this button buck into the taxidermist, he goes, "You're going to mount this?" And I went, "Yeah, it's a buck." and so I've got a lot of stories because I kill a lot of deer. We have unlimited doe tags in southern Michigan, and I've never missed a season since November 1949. I wasn't quite a year old. I was 11 months old in deer camp with my mom and dad, my older brother Jeff, and I've never missed a hunting season in 68 years.
Fantastic, man.
That's really cool. You know, I grew up in the Reed City area, and you were quite a legend around there because you used to hang around. Every now and then you'd make an appearance like in Chase at the Bluebird Cafe. Do you remember that place?
I certainly do. That was written up in Sports of Field. He had a wonderful spaniel that was really good on grouse and woodcock, and I did swing through there in the old Bronco.
Yes.
And I still wish I'm always hustling to get to my next hunting spot, so I don't stop at these cafes or diners anymore. And I got to kind of kick myself in the ass a little bit and slow down. As long as I get to my tree stand at least 3 hours before dark, or I get into the duck blind, you know, at least a couple hours before dark, but I hate to stop and rote from one hunt to the other. And when I'm in Michigan all October and November, every first 3 hours in the morning and the last 3 hours of the daylight, that is sacred time, and I will not miss that for anything.
That's awesome. Another one of the legends locally up there was you went into Bab Ford and ordered a Bronco. I think it was about 75.
And actually, I didn't order one. I had one already. I had a 75 Bronco, and I think I busted one of the spring mounts up front with the coil springs.
Well, the rumor was it had leopard skin seats in it.
No. No, that was my dealer's truck.
Yeah. Oh.
No, I've never had leopard seat covers, but I do have a Zebra Bronco with a Roush Yates 800 horsepower motor.
Nice.
In it.
Nice.
Hey, Ted, back to the grilling. I got to ask you, as much game as you eat, what's your favorite way to cook venison?
My favorite way is minimal, and that means, typically a fawn of the year. We don't shoot button bucks anymore. In fact, we don't shoot young bucks at all, which is a wonderful choice because, boy, are we killing some monster bucks in Michigan these days for the last 8 years at least. But when we shoot a fawn, we shoot as many doe fawns as we can on our doe tags because they're the best animal to get out of the herd. They're not as good at being mothers as the older matriarchs are. So we shoot a lot of young does, and the back straps on a young doe, you don't want to do nothing except slice all that silver off very carefully so you don't get any meat on the silver, because then I make a special meal for my dogs out of the silver and some of the scraps. But a back strap from a young Michigan whitetail, doesn't matter whether it's down in farm country up north in the cedar swamps, that young back strap over indigenous hot coals, nothing else. No salt, no pepper, no garlic, no butter, no nothing. Just singe it till it just begins to singe on the outside. And typically we use a forked stick like you would roast marshmallows with. And that natural, untouched young backstrap, I'm telling you, that's how I get high.
My mouth's watering.
People claim I don't get high. That's how I get high. I don't get high with intoxicants or men, but I do get high with backstraps and Mrs. Nugent.
Yeah. That's all awesome. Good stuff, man.
That's awesome. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We are talking with a Michigan native right now. You might have heard of him. His name's Ted Nugent, otherwise known as Uncle Ted.
I am your blood brother. You know that, don't you?
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I feel honored that you'll even say that to us. Because,
well, you know, I got to tell you, when you start the show off, and I encourage you to do so, with the only real hunting song in the world, not to mention the ultimate hunting song, in fact, quite honestly, just the ultimate song, when you start off with Fred Bear, I'm going to tell you, there is a bond, a spiritual, deep bond with people and that song. And I'd like to take this opportunity on your show, guys, number one, to thank you for playing this great song about that great man. But that I want to thank everybody how they've made that song such a powerful connection. Do you know that military heroes, I communicated with hundreds of military families where their family member in the military, they have the song Fred Bear requested to be played at their memorial, and I have actually attended and performed the song Fred Bear at the memorial of heroes of the military who have given their lives for the U.S. Constitution, for our American dream. And I can tell you, so many young boys and girls with terminal illnesses, that their last request in life was to just come and hunt with Uncle Ted and sit around a campfire and hear me play Fred Bear. And, you know, you stop and think, okay, us older rock and rollers, I guess we can understand the musical intensity. But when little 5 and 6 and 7-year-old boys and girls facing imminent death, they know they're terminally ill, and their last request is to hang out with this old guitar player to hear the song Fred Bear. Let me tell you, that song has a life of its own, and I'm so proud of the connection that it made in the name of that great man. And I want to thank everybody for a musical mountaintop that not very many musicians get to experience. And I live every day because of the song Fred Bear.
Well, I got to tell you, I honestly get goosebumps every time it comes on. And I was up in Brainerd, Minnesota about 4 months ago with Babe Winkleman. And we were sitting around his place there, his trophy room, and he was telling me at the time he was supposed to play that song with you in Chicago, I think. And something happened. The tour got canceled. But he said, if you talk to Ted, you tell him he's still my hero, and I still want to do Fred Bear with him.
Oh, so. We got to do it. Yeah, he had requested that we do it at one of the sporting events, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And I did not. I was not scheduled to attend that one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I get that from Babe, and I got to tell you, everywhere I go, not just hunters and fishermen and trappers, not just, you know, dyed-in-the-wool outdoorsmen like Babe Winkleman and you guys and me, but people who have never hunted in their lives.
Right.
The song has attracted them to get a bow and arrow.
Oh, the connectivity there.
Shotgun.
Yeah, it just people connect to it. But I think, honestly, I think sometime when you're up in this area, up in the Great Lakes, to see you and Babe on stage together, because he's a good guitarist, actually.
Yeah, sure.
He is, and got a good voice. But I think the hunters of North America would absolutely love to see that song.
Babe and Uncle Ted jamming.
Oh, you know, my.
My blood brother, Mike Andrews of Scentlock, right there in Michigan, had passed away a number of years ago and broke a lot of hearts. And his son and I are good friends. And they played Fred Bear at Mike's funeral. And Fred, in fact, Mike was quite a guitarist himself, and he jammed on that song all the time. But something very powerful happens when that song is played, especially between blood brothers, people who love the outdoors and will fight for a God-given outdoor lifestyle. The song is a soundtrack of it's a battle cry. It's a flood of memories and emotion, and it's a fortifier. It fortifies so many people to fight for gun rights and fight for hunting rights. You should see, in fact, I welcome everybody to come to Ted Nugent Official Facebook. We have over, I think recently, 33 million Facebookers. And people from all around the world reference our Spirit of the Wild show and the Fred Bear song and how it's changed their minds from being anti-hunting to becoming gung-ho hunters.
So talk about Spirit of the Wild, Ted.
Well, you know, Spirit of the Wild has been the number one hunting show for the last 27 years since we started on Michigan Public Television because we don't play games. We absolutely discard the joke, the curse of political correctness, and we like to hunt. We like to whack them and stack them. We kill them and grill them. We revere the wildlife that brings us such protein and meat and clothing and shelter and medicine, but mostly the spirit of being a resource steward and a hands-on conservationist. And our Spirit of the Wild show, I think it's number one because of Mrs. Nugent. That's why I watch it.
I'll second that.
Yes, indeed. but that's because we don't play games. We don't harvest stuff. We kill stuff. You harvest fruit. The killing of the surplus is the natural season of harvest, but so many people avoid the kill and don't show the blood and the guts and clean the animal up before they take a picture. I mean, come on. Blood and guts is perfect. It's God's miracle creation of tooth, fang, and claw, and it's how we sustain ourselves as a human species. Who could have a problem with that except some politically correct weirdo?
Yeah, and there's a bunch of them. Speaking of politically correct weirdos, what kind of danger is our Second Amendment in right now?
It's being threatened every day. This president, this terrible, terrible human being that has weaseled his way into the White House and pretty much all the Democrats, and only the guilty need to feel guilty because there are some Democrats who are actually pro-Second Amendment, but that they can align themselves with such felons like Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. You don't need to read this. You need to sign it? Really? You're an elected employee and you dare to say that to your bosses? My point being is that the Second Amendment would be gone right now if it wasn't for the National Rifle Association.
That's right.
I would like to speak to our listening audience right now. Write this down. If you're not a member, a current member of the National Rifle Association, Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi would like to thank you. Because they're not out to ban this gun or that gun or this bullet or that magazine. They're out. They have said it over and over. Hillary Clinton, if she becomes president, has said she will implement the Australian gun control, which is door-to-door confiscation. And if you're not a member of the NRA, Hillary Clinton would like to thank you for bending over and allowing her and her jackbooted thugs to infringe our God-given individual rights guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. Shame on sportsmen and women and gun owners who are not members of the NRA. Case closed.
Yeah, and the UN Small Arms Treaty is the big threat behind it. They wanna basically hand over our authority to all the thugs from around the world.
Yeah, to a bunch of goons, to a bunch of international goons who don't believe in any individual rights. They'll let the Saudi Arabians stone a woman to death because someone claims they took their burqa off, or they'll throw a gay guy off the roof and murder him. That isn't being protested by the UN, but my squirrel rifle is. Hey, UN, here's a little something for you. Eat me.
I'm with you, and Jop and I are both life members of the NRA, and we're,
which is why I love you, man.
Yeah, very strong supporters of it. We actually had Wayne LaPierre scheduled to be on the show last fall, but he ditched us at the last minute. It was, again, bad timing, but that's a wonderful organization, and I think it's cast to be. I mean, the left pitches it as this, you know, a bunch of crazies, and it's not. It's the only thing that supports the Second Amendment, and now they're after the First Amendment as well. So I mean, our Constitution is under attack all the time, and if you want to have the freedom to go out and hunt and grill and do all these things because you're a free man or free woman, then you better pay attention, because there's people out there that are just freaking whacked.
They absolutely are. And I got to tell you guys, thank you for using your bully pulpit. That's what I've been doing for the last 45 years.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
All my resources. I've been voted on with the highest votes in the history of the National Rifle Association onto the board of directors. I think it's 22 years now. I think Ollie North got a few more votes than I did this last time.
And I'm serious. It's good company.
I've always in the top one or two. And I thank all the NRA members out there, because they know why they're voting for me, because I'm an absolutist. Keep means it's mine. You can't have it. Bear means I've got a couple on me right now, and they're loaded. That's all keep and bear means. And anything that takes away the right to keep and bear is a violation of their oath, and our elected employees and law enforcement are violating their oath to uphold and to the U.S. Constitution. And in the state of Michigan, that I have to have my shotgun and rifle in a case, in my truck or on my Polaris, on my own farm, is an infringement and a violation of their oath to the U.S. Constitution. And Michigan residents should be ashamed of themselves that we haven't fixed that yet.
I didn't know that.
You're not allowed to have an uncased long gun on a motor vehicle, even if I want to sight in my shotgun for deer season, from my Polaris. Felony. They can't tell the difference between a paroled felon shooting at people and me sighting in a gun for opening day from my Polaris.
I guess I've been breaking the law for a long time.
Well, I got to tell you, Michigan used to be the number one hunting state, and I love my Michigan roots. I was born and raised in Michigan. I'm a Michiganiac forever. But the rules and regulation in Michigan, all my travels around the country, it's become a laughing stock. Michigan grows more doves than all the quail, grouse, woodcock, and pheasant combined. But Michigan lies and claims the dove is a songbird. It's the number one hunted species on planet Earth. It's not a songbird. Michigan is lying.
Craziness.
Craziness. There is more family hours of recreation, more revenues generated on morning dove hunting nationwide than any other outdoor activity except in the state of Michigan.
Yeah, if you just want to let us hunt the ugly animals, the only thing we're going to be able to shoot is feral pigs.
Well, and that's another one. My God. So I fight hard, and we've had a few upgrades, but, you know, Scott Walker up in Wisconsin got rid of the absurdity of no baiting, got rid of the absurdity of having to have your bow and gun in a case. Whose business is it whether my bow is in a case or not?
Yeah, that is pretty crazy.
I'm telling you, I hunt all over this country, and people laugh at Michigan. And if some people out there go, well, then you don't have to hunt here. No, I'll hunt there. I own property there, and I'll hunt forever in Michigan. You're not going to chase me away from Michigan, but you shouldn't bend over and accept absolutely absurd, unsupportable regulations that accomplish nothing for safety and nothing for wildlife management. If a law doesn't make it safer or have scientific basis for wildlife management, it's an absurd, unnecessary, and offensive law. It's capricious, it's arbitrary, and Michigan is loaded with them. And the CWD thing, oh my God, guys, we need to do a whole show on the CWD. CWD isn't even a disease. It's a condition. There's more scientists that will tell you it's not a disease than there are that will tell you it is a disease.
Well, that's what happens when you get a bunch of bureaucrats controlling things like wildlife. They've introduced wolves to the UP. They've done all kinds of really stupid things.
Destroyed the deer hunting in the UP.
It's gone. It's gone.
Well, I hope you guys have Richard P. Smith on because he's one of the most respected and knowledgeable experts in wildlife management, and he can give you a laundry list of the absurdities and the embarrassments and the irresponsibility and unaccountability of Michigan bureaucrats when it comes to regulations and the DNR. I'd love to debate the DNR on your show. Oh, my God, I dance all over them.
I'll see if we can't work that out.
Make that happen.
All right.
There's a bunch of good guys in the DNR, and I salute them. But there's also a bunch of soulless bureaucrats who don't know what they're talking about. Let me see if I got this right. CWD has killed 7 deer in Michigan. The DNR has allowed the slaughter of 7,000. Who's the enemy of the deer herd?
Exactly. Good point. Very good point.
Jeez.
Ted, we're out of time, my friend, but I tell you what, treasure every second that you just shared with us because we are squarely in your camp on everything we just discussed. And
well, God bless you guys. God bless Michigan. God bless the hunters, the fishermen, the trappers. God bless the NRA members. This is really a do-or-die year for freedom in America. And if just the licensed hunters in Michigan would vote for Donald Trump, we could take it back from the leftists and the Democrats of Michigan that have absolutely destroyed everything they put their hands on. Detroit is a wreck because of liberal Democrats. Michigan has got absurd regulations because of liberal Democrats and Republicans that won't stand up. So be sure you're a member of the NRA and you vote for Donald Trump this November or America is done. Have the greatest, most exciting, enjoyable, stimulating, backstrap-infested, safe hunting season of your life, and may the great spirit of the wild be forever at your side in the land of Fred Bear.
Thanks, Ted.
Amen, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Amen.
All right. In case you didn't know, that was Ted Nugent.
I don't think there's much more we need to say or even can say. That guy, you wind him up and he goes. But, man, is he passionate.
Yeah.
You gotta love that about him. He's a passionate, passionate man.
There's always people trying to take our guns.
Sure.
He is right. And we'll be back.
Another misty dusk. And it came from a tangle down below. And I tried to remember everything you taught me so well.